John chapter 14 and the cozy corner chapter. I call this the cozy corner chapter because a dear friend of ours from Wales called Thomas, we are ministering together at a convention back at Swanwick in England some years ago. He was then 84 years of age and he was giving the Bible readings in the morning from John 14, 15, 16 and 17. And he said the right order is starting at John 15 and going back to John 14, then continuing into 16. But you know, he called this the cozy corner chapter. And the way that dear saintly man expounded the Word of God, we just felt as if the Lord himself was right there in our very midst, just as we did last night. We're just so conscious of the Lord's presence with us. And I'm sure we're realizing the very same thing right now. But when he came down to verse number 3, these words, I will come again. He said, you know, if we all wait till the Lord comes, and we all go up together, he said there'll be such a crush. He said, I would far rather pass through the article of death and have a personal interview with the Lord before the crowd comes home. Now, isn't that precious? Can you look upon death just like that? He said he would rather pass through the article of death than to wait for the Lord to come. He said there'd be such a crush that we all wait till then, eh? And he called it the cozy corner chapter. Now, remember the Lord Jesus, as his own gathered around him, as he always liked to do. And he starts off having told them he's going away from them. They're not very happy about that. In fact, they're upset about it. The great big men, their breasts are heaving, their hearts are at breaking point. Why? They thought he was going to set up his kingdom. One wanted to sit on the right hand, the other on the left hand. But now he talks about going to the cross. He talks about being killed and on the third day rising again from the dead. And they couldn't understand that. And they're really troubled in their heart. Now, isn't this just like the Lord Jesus? He says here in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now he might have said, for I am God. But no, he just says, you believe in God, believe also in me. I like that, you know. Maybe tonight, in the very outset of a little talk, I'm not going to preach. We're just going to have a little heart-to-heart talk. And this evening, there may be a heart here that's really troubled. And deep down underneath that very beautiful exterior, there's a heart that's all topsy-turvy. Completely at wit's end corner, and you don't know what to do. In a word, you're at your tether end. Is that true? Now, the Lord is drawing very near to you right now, and he's saying to you, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you believe in God, believe also in me. Way back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, we read these words in verse number 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I call thee by name, thou art mine. Now I have written against that word in the margin of my Bible, the word relationship. Fear not, and there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. There's a fear not for each and every day of the year in the Bible. I said that one time at a conference, a Hebrew Christian came up and said, Mr. Boswell, you made a mistake this afternoon. I said, just one? Well, he said, you made one. When was that? When you said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, that is a mistake. Looking at it, I said, well, how many are there, brother? He said, there are 366. So I said, if you find one for the leap year, we can still rejoice together. And the Lord is saying to you tonight, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I call thee by name, thou art mine. We are redeemed not for such things as silver nor gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. He's called us by name. He calls his own sheep by name, they know him and they follow him. He called Mary, Mary, Martha, he called Martha, Thomas, he called Thomas, Philip, he called Philip, Peter, he called Peter. You heard him calling you by your own special name. He calls his own sheep by name. They know him and they follow him. When we were in Palestine some time ago, I was greatly amused and interested in the way the shepherd went on before the sheep and how the sheep followed the shepherd. Now remember, this particular day a company of shepherds was just standing talking together while their sheep were intermingling one with another. This particular shepherd is going to move on to another pasture. So he goes, he calls something like this, "Kooee! Kooee!" Now the sheep belonging to that shepherd knew that shepherd's voice. They came up from all the other sheep and they came to where that shepherd was standing. I must have stood there all day crying, "Kooee." They wouldn't have listened to my voice. They didn't know my voice. But they knew the voice of the shepherd. And that's the very same thought here. "I have redeemed thee. You're mine. You belong to me. I've called you by name." And he says, "You're mine." Isn't that precious, the very same verse? "You're mine." And the thought here is the thought of a relationship. We belong. Men and women and young people like to know tonight they belong. They're accepted. Well, you belong and you're accepted because you are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that just wonderful? Now notice again. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name." Now he comes closer. "Thou art mine." I like that. Young boy yonder in Scotland had a knife given to him for a birthday gift from his uncle from Africa. He's showing it off at school. One boy says, "Look, it's got a silver handle. It's a beauty. It's got five blades. Let's look, it's got a corkscrew. It's got a can opener. It's got a screwdriver." The little boy said, "Ah, but best of all, it's mine." Now, I can stand here all night to midnight, and I'd just love to do it, but I won't do it, so don't worry. I'm trying to tell you what the Lord Jesus means to me. Though half of you tonight say, "Jim, that's all right, but best of all, I know he's mine." Do you know that tonight? Is he yours? Can you truthfully say, "I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with a cord of love, and thus he bound me to him. Round my heart so closely twine those ties which not can sever. For I am his, and he is mine." And you know something? Say it. "It's forever and forever mine." Something real about that. Something precious about that. We're his, and we're his forever. Now, because we are his, it's his responsibility in verse 2 to preserve us. And what does it say? These wonderful words. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The floods, they shall not overflow thee. Should we call the pass through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon thee." We're still in Isaiah 44, by the way. Verse number 1 is relationship. Verse number 2 is responsibility. Now I want to get that. Say, "Because you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. The flood shall not overflow thee. Should be called to pass through the fire, the flame will not kindle upon thee. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." I love this with all my heart. "When thou passest through the waters," and that refers to the Red Sea, the children of Israel have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the very same night were redeemed, they left the land of Egypt. Then they come face to face with the Red Sea. Beside them, mighty rocks, mighty mountains. Behind, there is Pharaoh and all his mighty hordes. And they're hurling on after them. There they are, completely hemmed in. They're at wit's end corner. Maybe tonight I'm talking to someone, you two are having a Red Sea experience in your life. Yes, you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, you two have left your land of Egypt. But now there you are completely hemmed in. You don't know which way to go. The Red Sea before you. Mountains either side. There's a pursuing enemy. You're completely hemmed in. What are you going to do? And you're right at which end corner? What happened? Remember how Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." What did Jehovah say through Moses? "Say the children of Israel, go forward." And beloved, as they moved forward, the Red Sea opened before them. And the waters rolled back and became congealed like two great walls of crystal. God sent a strong east wind that dried up the bed of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel go right through on dry ground. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely? Some of you who have been reading Dr. DeHaan's Daily Brave will remember the little story there about the scientists at school, the geology teacher and biology teacher was teaching them something about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. They say that was no miracle at all. It was just because of no depth of sea there, just about 6 inches. Just about 6 inches of water there, you see. So there was no miracle wrought. So the bright boy there, brought up in the assembly, of course, he saw there a discrepancy in the teacher's enunciation. And so he stopped her and said, "Please, miss." "Yes, Johnny." "You know, if there are only 6 inches of water there at the Red Sea, I think it was a tremendous miracle because Pharaoh and all his mighty horsemen were drowned in 6 inches of water." Isn't that just wonderful? There it is. And our beloved, God sent that strong east wind, and there was that drying up, and they went through on dry ground. Now, I like this. "The Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll see them again no more. Forever I tell young people to study the no mores of Scripture. They bring wonderful joy and wonderful dividends. Just to take time and study the no mores. There's one of them. "The Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll see them again no more forever." And the children of Israel going right through on dry ground. And here Pharaoh and all his mighty horsemen, Pharaoh said, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will destroy, I will divide the spoil." They come hurling on down the bed of the Red Sea. Children of Israel are coming up now on the other side. Ah, beloved, and as Pharaoh and all his mighty horsemen are in the bed of the Red Sea, God allows the waters to come back, and they are drowned. They are drowned. I love this with all my heart. You know why? That great big capital I. I will pursue, I will overtake, I will destroy, I will divide the spoil. And what did God do? He just sent a little puff of wind. Just a wee puff of wind, that was all. And Pharaoh and all his mighty horsemen go down as lead into the Red Sea. Then the first song in the Bible is Exodus 15. "Then sang the children of Israel, the Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is cast the depth of the sea. Thy right hand become glorious in power. Thy right hand is dashed in pieces of the enemy." Oh, beloved, this is the God you've come to know, isn't it? This is the omnipotent God who is your God. And the lovely Lord Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." I like that. But then you come down now, the waters shall not overflow thee, and there you got the River Jordan. The River Jordan, first of all, you got the Red Sea, and what a glorious throat of triumph there. He goes through with you, and you come to the other side, and the Lord has triumphed gloriously. Not we have triumphed, but the Lord gives all the glory. You know, the first song in the Bible is in Exodus 15. The last song in the Bible is in Revelation 15. I know they're going to sing, and you're going to join them. The song of Moses and the Lamb. Isn't that precious? Oh, that means so much to me. And then the water shall not overflow thee as the River Jordan. Then you come down and say, "Should you be called to pass through the fire? The flame will not kindle upon thee. Fear not, for I am with thee." Oh, beloved, 3 young fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This college boy went home from Sunday school one day. His father said, "What did you get in Sunday school today, son? Did you get a new chorus?" "Yes, it was something about Shack the bed, and Mac the bed, and in the bed we go." What was it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see? But there we have it. And my friend, there they are, 3 young fellows, about 15 years of age. Face up the terrific challenge. Are they going to bow down the king's decree? Are they going to bow down the king's image? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is your God able to deliver you? They said, "We are not worried. We are not careful. We are not perturbed about it. Our God is well able But if not, that's where faith comes in. Eh? The end was faith. But if not, we will not bow down to the king's image. Beloved, the furnace heated 7 times more than usual. 3 young fellows are bound with their own clothing, thrown alive in that burning fiery furnace. But my friend the king could not sleep. Going down there, looking in, 4. I like this. 4. And one like the Son of God, and a walking up and down the midst of the burning fiery furnace, the bands had all been untied. And there they are in perfect liberty, in perfect sweetness of fellowship with the Lord, right there in the midst of that burning fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come forth. And they go forth. Not even the smell of singeing. Not even the hair burned. Beloved, notice this. God did not exempt them from going into the burning fiery furnace. He goes right in with them. Maybe you've been wondering why you've been having a time of testing, fiery indignation during these particular days. You wonder why. He has not exempted you from it, has he? But haven't you been aware of his presence with you? Have you been very conscious of the Lord's presence with you, right in the very midst of that trial, that difficulty, that time of affliction? Yes, your valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, has been realized, it'll be a reality to you. You've been realizing the Lord's presence with you in a very vital way, the way you never knew in the days of prosperity. But in those days of adversity, you're proving the Lord sufficient every movement of every day. Isn't that true? I love that, don't you? And when you go down, please, to verse number 4, the word there is reason. The first word is relationship in verse 1. Second word is responsibility. Because we are His, it's His responsibility to preserve us and protect us and to provide for us every moment of every day. And notice He never fails in His responsibility and fulfilling His obligation. He never fails. And the reason is found in verse number 4, because you're precious. Because you're precious. That reminds me, we didn't sing that chorus tonight, did we? Well, we'll leave it to another night. And remember, we often sing, to you who believe He is precious, and it's true. But do you ever realize how precious you are to Him? Do you ever realize how precious you are to Him as a sinner saved by Max's grace and cleansed by the efficacy of His own precious blood? Oh, yes. The reason is because you're precious. Same thought drawn out in Psalm 18, verse number 19, where it says, I delivered you because I delighted in you. No other reason. I delivered you because I delighted in you. I preserved you because you're precious to me. And in the book Deuteronomy, you pronounce it Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy. How do you pronounce it here, eh? Deuteronomy? No, Deuteronomy. Well, how do you pronounce the full book of the Bible? Is it Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy? How do you pronounce the full book of the Bible? Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy in
God. Okay, very good. You know, I was down in Arizona some time ago, and I was very struck with this, because I was teaching at the Bible college there, just outside Phoenix, and Dr. Oltrogay, who said to pronounce his name Old Fogey. His name really Oltrogay. He's a Jewish brother, very lovely fellow. But he said, before the whole student body, so Mr. Boswell, how do you pronounce the full book of the Bible? Do you pronounce it Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy? I said, Deuteronomy, doctor, how do you? Know what he said? Numbers. So, right, in the book Deuteronomy, and we come down to the 7th chapter, you know what it says in verse number 7? It says, I love you just because I love you. Now, I want you to get that tonight, dear children of God. Sometimes you're finding things somewhat testing. But He's saying to your heart tonight, I love you just because I love you. Do you believe that? Someone said to me the other day, only a mother could love you. And I said, I thank God I had a mother who loved me. And I'm here because she loved me so much to pray for me. And because of her prayers, I was brought into the kingdom. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? But tonight, he that knows the worst about me is the one who loves me best of all. There's only one who loves like this. And Jesus is His name. His wonderful name. And he says, I love you just because I love you. Even when we're unlovely and unlovable, I love you just because I love you. And he says, I delivered you because I delighted in you. And he says, I preserved you because you're precious to me. Now, John Nelson Darby wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible these words, Thou should find delight in me and be the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but it's sunshine in my heart. Isn't that precious? May I repeat these words? Thou should find delight in me and be the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but it's sunshine in my heart. And I love that with all my heart. Now listen, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus of the New Testament. And who is saying his words in verses 1, 2, and 4 of Isaiah 43? He now comes to John 14 and says, your heart with my heart, let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God, believe also in me. I think of Paul's words in Acts 27, when that terrible storm had broken out and the boards are cutting asunder. He says, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. There is the little I, so impotent, so puny, linked together to the omnipotent God by the little word, I believe God. Is that where your belief is centered? Is that where your faith is centered tonight? Have faith in God, said Christ. And tonight he's saying to you and he's saying to me, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Now why I'm laboring this, I simply don't know. But there's some heart here that knows. And the Lord is saying right to you right now. Do you believe it? Will you take him at his word? He's saying to your heart in a way probably he's never said it before. But let not your heart be troubled. Why are you troubled? Have faith in God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to speak to you tonight on five new things, and that's the first one, a new revelation. The old commander letter R, so you can very well remember them. The first is a new revelation. It says, if I go, I will come again. Beloved, he's gone away, but not to stay, he's coming back again. 318 times in the New Testament, you have a reference to the coming again of our lovely Lord Jesus. Once in every 25 verses. Now, baptism and the Lord's Supper together only come about 12 times. And what a fuss we make about these two ordinances, and correctly so. But here's the truth that comes 318 times, once in every 25 verses. And a little do we hear today about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is the devil's masterpiece to keep our mouths zipped up concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. But remember, his coming is very near. I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my soul is longing to be with him evermore. In picture and in parable and in prophecy, and now he comes up with this glorious new revelation. If I go, I will come again. The Lord Jesus gave us three promises without any precept. There's something like 3,000 promises in the Word of God according to A.T. Pearson. But you know, each one, if so, then I will. But here are three promises without any precept at all. And the first one is found in the 14th chapter of John, where he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter. That is found in Matthew 16:16. I will build my church. I will build my church. That's in the present. And on this one before us now, I will come again in the future, and it may take place tonight. It may take place tonight. Oh, beloved, it may be that tonight the listening sky is now dumb. We'll hear the bridegroom's voice saying, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away far above the clouds." I wonder, does your heart with my heart say right now, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Even so come, Lord Jesus, catch up thy bride away." Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Remember the heavenly messengers in Acts 1:11. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus." I'm so glad he's not going to send Gabriel, nor Michael, nor any of the angelic host. He's coming himself. The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go. Who saw him go? His own. Who is he coming for? His own. And who are they? "They have my spirit," they said, "he are mine." And just as still responds to the magnet, so the heavy spirit will rise to meet him in that coming day. That a glorious prospect is ours as the children of God. Once this alluding forth, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. Our loved ones have fallen asleep in Jesus will be raised first. We shall be changed, reunited, and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. No wonder Paul says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Oh, aren't you glad my friend is coming? His coming is so very, very near. It may be tonight. He'll burst the clouds and say, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Does your heart say right now, "Even so come, Lord Jesus"? Oh, friend, he's coming. He's on the way. I love that, you know. There is a new revelation. If I go, I will come again. Things I thought 40 years ago as a boy, a school back yonder in Scotland, I saw fulfilled before my very eyes in Palestine. Prophecies brought to their fulfillment right there before my eyes. The Bible began to live to me. Became a new book I saw through eastern windows. The rose of the wilderness blossoming like the rose, the fruit trees bringing forth 2 or 3 crops annually. All those are wonderful moments. God said the generation sees the things begin to come to pass, the very generation is coming in. Friend, his coming is very near. Do you realize that? Has it gripped your heart tonight? I'm so happy about that. He is coming. A young boy was born blind. When this boy was about 15 years of age, his father got home from work one day. He found his wife absolutely despondent, really down the dumps. He said, "What's the matter, dear?" She said, "Oh, it's all right." She said, "No, there's something troubling. What is it?" "I tell you, I'm all right. Leave me alone." Have you ever heard that before? Well, she said, "Look, there's something troubling. I wonder what it is. I tell you, I'm all right. Just leave me alone. But if you get hold of it, I want to know." And she began to cry. You women are funny things, aren't you? How you try to hide things from us, but we're not quite so dumb as you think we are. And she said, you know, it's getting to me. The very child whom we brought into the world, whom we cared for all these 15 years, they will never see the mother nor the father done all these things for him. It's just getting me. It's getting me down. He went back to his office somewhat distracted. He confided one of his colleagues who told him a Harley Street specialist back in London, England, had been performing wonderful operations. Some born blind were even receiving their sight. An interview was arranged. They took the boy all the way across to England. The doctor examined his eyes and said, "There's very little hope. I'll operate, I'll do my best, I can do no more." They agreed to the operation. Some days after, the father and mother were sent for. And in the room, the company of medical students, doctors, and nurses, cursed the boy and the father and mother. A nurse undid the bandages, removed the bat and wool. And after some time, he looked up at the ceiling. And then looked down at the floor. Looked up there and he saw a table in front of him. You no doubt saw his hand moving for the very first time. He saw his mummy, and he saw his daddy for the very first time. So, aren't you now happy, you can see? He says, I'm extremely happy, but please, I want to see the man who opened my eyes. The professor was just next door waiting for the result. They brought him in. The boy clasped him by the hand and looked up and said, thank you, sir, for opening my eyes. Beloved, do you realize it may be tonight, this very night, that we too shall be ushered right into the immediate presence of that lovely man who opened our eyes, and we're going to thank him face to face. Won't that just be wonderful, eh? I'd love to develop that, but time won't allow. Let's look down, please, to verse number 6. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, here is a new road. First of all, there's a new revelation, I will come again. And now there's a new road, I am not a way, but I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. And it is emphasizing the point here, I am the way to those in the place of distance, I am the truth to those in the place of deception, and I am the light to those in the place of death. But it says, I am the way. A new road. The way to God's presence is once closed as a result of sin. The door stands open wide now on the ground of sacrifice, and is opened up a new and living way on the ground of his own precious shed blood. Isn't that wonderful? And there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. No man or woman or boy or girl will ever go down to lost eternity. But who goes down past the sin of that cross and says, no, I will have my own way, Isaiah 53:6. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And Christ said, I am the way, I'm the only way. And no man or woman will ever be in yonder glory but who's first come to that cross. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the very own Lord and Savior. He bore the penalty against the sin. And they come from before the cross to behind the cross. And like their backs toward the cross and our faces are toward the glory. The little thing I hear the young people saying these days about following Jesus. I will follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, I will follow Jesus. Now that's a catch-all thing, but it's not good theology. The cross is not before the Christian. The cross is behind the Christian. Galatians 6:14, by the cross I am crucified to the world, and by the cross the world is crucified to me. And tonight my back toward the cross. And if I am going to go back to my old haunts, I must go back past the Son of that cross. How dare I crucify the Son of God afresh? The children of Israel came up to the land of Egypt. And the very first same night they applied the blood that left the land of Egypt. And now we find the Red Sea flowing before them. And there they are, separated from their old haunts, their old fears by the Red Sea, but from their old enemies by the Red Sea. And so it is the cross of the Lord Jesus for the believer. Galatians 1:3 says, who gave himself to bear away our sin and to deliver us from this present evil world. Friend, tonight we're on the life side of the cross. We've been raised up together. And we're on the life side of the cross of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to realize this more and more. By the cross I am crucified to the world, and by the cross the world is crucified to me. Ministering at a young people's convention in Washington, D.C., some little while ago, looking around at vast crowd of dear young people, I said, we're something like these girls. I don't mind you wearing a cross around your neck. I don't mind that at all, as long as there's no image on it. If there's an image, I would object to it. But there's no image I don't mind, but please, girls, be scriptural and wear it at your back. Because your back's toward the cross, you see. Now, that very day, I didn't see a cross in any girl's neck that particular day. But 5 crosses were picked up from that auditorium, along with many other things. Those young people were willing to do a business with God and lay it all upon the altar for Christ that particular day. 1 cross, and came solid gold. And Chuck Coleman, who was the chairman, he held them up at the other station and said, look, these were, who these belong to? As far as I know, they've never been claimed. Never been claimed, because young people are willing to do business with God. They recognize I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me, and they're alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. And there's a new way. And Christ said, I am the way. I wonder, as we think of the two ways, the broad way and the narrow way, on which way are you here tonight? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends are off out of the ways of death. Haggai says, consider your way and consider your letter end. As a Christian, it's good for us to take stock sometime and consider our ways and consider the day when we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all we've done by means of the body shall be on display in that coming day. May it be yours, may it be mine, here in saints so lovingly. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into joy of thy Lord. It's a new way. I like that, don't you? And there's something more. There's a new relationship in the very same verse. And it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. A new relationship unto the Father. But aren't we all God's children? Aren't all men and women God's children? No, beloved, we are not. God is the creator of all mankind. He's the Father only of those who believe on His Son. Chapter and verse, Galatians 3, verse 26. Now are ye the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John 1, verse number 12. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become, a time when we were not, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Oh, the joy that evil to say tonight, Abba, my own dear Father. And what does Galatians 4, 6 say? Because your Son, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Is the Spirit of Christ within that says, Abba, Father. And when we receive Christ, He comes in by His Spirit into your life and into my life. And the Spirit of the Son within says, Abba, Father. I never like to leave a young convert, let them go from me until they've addressed God as Father. Just showing them clearly that they are now the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that lovely? So first of all, there's a new revelation. There is a new rule. And there is now a new relationship. I trust tonight we are all in this auditorium right now, children of God. And you've got the assurance and the confidence in your own innermost being that you really are a child of God. Oh, what joy this brings you. He will sing with all sincerity, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Sit down, please, to verse 16. I'll just touch the next two as I close. And we'll continue from there tomorrow night, God willing. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, not another of another kind, but another of the same kind. Another comforter, that He may abide with you for the weekend. It doesn't say that in your version, does it? I don't think even the New English Version would say that. And I'm sure Living Letters wouldn't say a thing like that, would it? Oh, never, 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 never. It said, may abide with you forever. I like that, don't you, eh? Abide with you forever. If you want a good booklet, by the way, in the modern version of the Bible, you ask Herman Pinger for it. He's the author of it. This young man's a graduate from the seminary. A young man that knows God and living reality with God. His dear wife, too. She sent so beautiful last night, along with Dave, with Tom. I wish Tom had been here tonight, too. But they'll be all back tomorrow night, God willing. But in Herman wrote a tremendous little booklet on that particular theme, the new versions. Most illuminating. But then get down again to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. When the world cannot receive, because it seeth not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. And notice this now, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And what I want to give you is a new resident. Did I roll my R enough there just now? As a new resident, He's come to reside. Isn't that lovely? A new resident, He's come to reside. Where? In you. And 1 Peter 1, Corinthians 6, 8, 19, and 20, what know ye not? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Oh, friend, when that truth dawns in upon you, that the Holy Ghost indwells you, that your body is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and this revelation comes real to you, it transforms your whole life and your whole ministry too. I want to give you 3 R's here. One, let us recognize His presence. Recognize His presence. The Holy Ghost is in you. Now, have you ever looked up and said with all sincerity, with the Word of God right before you, Lord, I know, I recognize the Holy Spirit indwelling me. Friend, you know God, the Father. You know God, the Son. But do you really know God, the Holy Ghost? Do you know Him? Is He a reality in your life? Oh, how important, how vital this really is. The Holy Ghost is the most neglected member in the Godhead. And what injury we suffered because of that. Oh, to recognize Him. Remember, He's co-eternal and He's co-equal with the Father and the Son in perfection and in power. And as we acknowledge the Father and the Son, so ought we to acknowledge the Holy Ghost even tonight. Let us recognize Him where? In you and in me. Then respect His person. Respect His person. He is the Holy Spirit. Everything that is unholy, impure, suggestive, makes a lie, is hypocritical, grieves the Holy Spirit. Another R. Reflect His face. Portray His face. Recognize His presence. Respect His person and reflect or portray His face. Will you do that tonight? Right now? You going to do? If you do that, you'll receive His power. You'll receive His power. If tonight you are recognizing His presence and you are respecting His person, without the shadow of a doubt, we shall receive His power. You shall receive power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, where? In Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts there. Lastly, because I leave my spirit, back to verse 15. Verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now back to chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. Chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. What's the lesson? A new rule. The couple R-U-L-E, a new rule. 5 new things on the letter R. A new revelation, I will come again. A new road, I am the way. A new relationship unto the Father. A new resident, He shall be with you and He shall be in you. And a new rule, love as I have loved you. The old commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. But the new commandment is love as I have loved you. May the Lord bless His word to your heart. Should there be someone here tonight who's never yet come into personal contact with Him, and you would like to, He's here. We'd love to introduce you to Him tonight. We really would. If you're a Christian and living a defeated life, you feel we can help you, then please do make it known. That's why we're here. And all for God's glory and for the advancement of His kingdom. Hymn number 377. 377. Please continue to be much in prayer regarding the meetings and encourage others to come along with you from 9 nights. So good things, we should nicely group up again And this happy the season of the year that joy having you. Thy 377 redeemed. How I love to proclaim it redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed for his infinite mercy, his child. I like that, don't you? And forever I am. Number 377. All together.
Redeemed and I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed for his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever.
There's no maybe about this. I hope so. I trust so. You said, his child and forever I am. You got the assurance. You know you are a child of God. The second verse, all together.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language takes our earth until I know that the light of his friends with me God continually dwell. Redeem, redeem. Redeem, redeem. His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I say, for I cannot be silent.
That's lovely.
Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his child and forever.
I know, no doubt about it, I know I shall see the King in his beauty. Right, all together.
I know.
Redeem,
redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his child and forever I am.
And Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus for each one here who can truthfully say, his child and forever I am. We thank you as thy children, blessed God, who faith in thy beloved Son, the rich provision has made for us in him and through him, and the work he accomplished for thy glory at the place called Calvary. We thank you, God, it's a finished work. The cross is empty and the tomb is vacated, and he now lives in the power of an endless life. We just thank thee for one another and the joy of being together. Bless thy word to each heart. Let it not one may leave without having seen the Lord tonight and in some way heard his voice being right down in the innermost of these inner beings of ours. Make this to be a meeting for eternity that shall have eternal value and bring glory to thy wonderful name. This do we ask, we now pray, at the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God our Father and the sweet abiding fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be the enjoyed portion of each one until traveling days are over and we see.